The Bostonians by Henry James. Olive will come down in about 10 minutes. She told me to tell you that. About 10. Neither 5 nor 15, and yet not 10 exactly, but either 9 or 11. Well, I am very glad to see you, at any rate. These words were spoken with much volubility by a smiling woman who entered a narrow drawing-room in which a visitor was absorbed in a book. The gentleman threw it down at the approach of Mrs. Luna, laughed, and shook hands with her. Mrs. Luna glanced at him from head to foot and gave a little smiling sigh. Basil Ransom was tall and lean, and dressed throughout in black. He came from Mississippi, and he spoke very perceptibly with the accent of that country. Mrs. Luna assured him that her sister quite expected him, and would feel as sorry as she could ever feel for anything if he didn't stay to dinner. Olive was going somewhere after dinner, but he mustn't mind that. Perhaps he would like to go with her. It wasn't a party. Olive didn't go to parties. It was one of those weird meetings she was so fond of.
"What kind of meetings?" the young man inquired. "You speak as if it were a rendezvous of witches."
"Well, so it is. They are all witches and wizards, mediums and spirit-rappers and roaring radicals." Basil Ransom stared.
"Do you mean to say your sister's a roaring radical?"
"A radical? She's a female Jacobin. She's a nihilist. Whatever is wrong, and all that sort of thing. If you are going to dine with her, you had better know it." He looked at Mrs. Luna with intelligent incredulity.
"Well, I suppose I might have known that," he continued at last.
"You might have known what?"
"Well, that Miss Chancellor would be all that you say. She was brought up in the City of Reform."
"Oh, it isn't the city. It's just Olive Chancellor. She would reform the solar system if she could get hold of it. She'll reform you if you don't look out. That's the way I found her when I returned from Europe."
"Have you been in Europe?" Ransom asked.
Mrs. Luna explained that she had been living in Europe for several years, ever since her husband died, but had come home a month before and was paying a visit to her sister. Mrs. Luna added that now she was back, she didn't know what she should do. Olive didn't want her in Boston and didn't go through the form of saying so. That was one comfort with Olive. She never went through any forms. Basil Ransom had got up just as Mrs. Luna made this last declaration, for a young lady had glided into the room, who stopped short as it fell upon her ears.
"If that were true," she said, "I shouldn't tell you that I am very sorry to have kept you waiting."
Her voice was low and agreeable, a cultivated voice, and she extended a slender white hand to her sister. Mrs. Luna explained to her sister that her freedom of speech was caused by his being a relation, though indeed he didn't seem to know much about them. She must be off to her dinner now. She saw the carriage was there, and in her absence Olive might give him any version of her she chose. "I have told him you are a radical, and you may tell him, if you like, that I am a painted Jezebel. Try to reform him. A person from Mississippi is sure to be all wrong. Goodbye, Mr. Ransom. I hope you are going to stay a little, so that you may judge us for yourself. You only stay tomorrow? Well, mind you come and see me in New York. Don't come out. My sister has the first claim. Olive, why don't you take him to your female convention?"
Mrs. Luna's familiarity extended even to her sister.
"I am glad I haven't opinions that prevent my dressing in the evening," she declared from the doorway. "The amount of thought they give to their clothing, the people who are afraid of looking frivolous."
Miss Chancellor was habited in a plain, dark dress, without any ornaments. Even after her sister had passed out of the room, she sat there with her eyes turned away, as if there had been a spell.